This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So let's talk about smart homes. You might have seen some new products for your home that promotes its connectivity and its smartness, the ease of it being operated. You can connect it to your phone, to your Wi-Fi, and do wonders with it. It's a big deal, as reports by A.T. Kearney said that the Asian smart home market will reach about $116 billion in sales by the year 2030, and that's about 30% of the global share. But do be wary about these products in your home or in your business. We consumers often forget that these devices opens up to a multitude of potential security risks. So what should you take into consideration before venturing into the smart home devices? With me today is Tyler Holland. He's the CEO of Antrak. It's a provider of energy management solutions and more. Tyler, welcome to the show. Let's talk a bit about how big of a demand is the smart home devices in this part of the region currently, because we always see all these products that, you know, that's being announced, and it feels like it's a lot more, you know, American, Western, European based, but it's a big deal here too.
Yeah, the demand has certainly been growing quite significantly in the past few years. We're expecting around 100% growth, 10 times growth, I should say, in the coming 5 years. And that really comes in phases. So sometimes it may look like what is happening in the U.S. is a little different from what happens in Asia, and that's a pretty normal thing. Asian consumers for smart homes are really looking mostly at things related to security, security cameras, web cameras, things like that. That's a really big part of what's going on. But then that will move along into later trends as people get more comfortable with smarter homes, and include things from, you know, smart aircon units, smart blinds, and the kind of things that you see on TV with, you know, hey Google, turn on Netflix.
And this smart security devices, they're the ones that generally tend to have a little bit more at risk, I would say.
Yes, yeah, so with IoT, the main thing that needs to be remembered is that any device you put into your home, into your network, could become a point of failure, a point of access for someone with less than positive intent. So it's always important to think about this device and say, okay, well, have I done everything that I can to make sure that this is not going to become the weakest link in the chain, so to speak, and become an entry point to people accessing other devices in my house so that they can, you know, see my comings and goings, track when I'm in and out of the house, and then they can know when to come and, you know, rob me, for example.
Why the sudden surge in growth and demand for these kind of devices?
The big growth in demand is really a follow-on effect to the huge growth in the smartphone market. So as, you know, it's been about 10 years since the iPhone came out, and smartphones have now become almost ubiquitous across most of the world. And so as that becomes more common, you realize you have connectivity in almost everyone's pocket. To have something connected is no longer about going to that one computer in my home. It's about anytime, anywhere. And so that level of convenience makes people feel more comfortable with connected devices. It means that they can access it anywhere. They feel that level of control.
But it's not just homes that we're talking about here, right? Because businesses are also using this, whether it's an SME or a large corporate firm.
Absolutely. And the range of applications there is really huge. So if you're talking about offices, then one of the big things that offices are trying to do these days is focus on productivity. They want to make the offices more of an effective place for people to work, whether that's tracking temperature and making sure that everyone is comfortable so you're not sweating, shivering, et cetera, making sure that the light levels are okay, making sure that you know, carbon dioxide levels aren't too high because that makes you drowsy. It's all these little details about making sure that everyone can work in a productive environment, because that's going to affect the company's bottom line, and it's going to affect their recruiting, and it's just going to make it a better place to work overall. So it's a great recipe for success for a lot of these companies to focus on making their offices more productive, more efficient workplaces.
And people are slapping the word, you know, a smart device on literally every product. I see a smart toaster as well recently in the shelves of an electric store. What makes a smart device smart? Like, what's the definition of a smart device?
Well, I guess everyone has their own definition, but as far as I can see, the main definition is whether it's connected or connectable to the internet. because even if it's just something simple, turning on and off a light, that's no different from your wall switch. But once you connect that to the internet, then I can hook that up to all sorts of systems and algorithms and artificial intelligence and whatever I want to decide when to turn that on and when to turn that off. So it's not necessarily the device itself that's smart. It's connecting to the network so that you can bring intelligence into that device and make it part of an overall smarter system.
But why are we doing this? Why is this fascination of getting everything, you know, how hard is it to just switch off the light switch itself?
Well, it depends on the application. I agree with you that in smart homes especially, there are a lot of smart devices that are sort of, you know, providing convenience for convenience sake. It's a little bit silly. But especially for companies, it can become pretty important. For example, in big open plan offices, the light switches may all be concentrated in one area. So you go to one part of the wall and there's 20 different light switches. It can be difficult to know which one controls what. So the end result is that when you are in overtime hours, let's say 8 p.m., and there's one person working in the office, you'll still have all of the lights on because nobody could really dare to turn off any of those switches without worrying about turning off the lights over someone who's working. So this is really an inefficiency. You're turning on lights for the whole office even though one person's there. So bringing in a little more intelligence, a little more connectivity, allows you to link up things like occupancy sensors, tap card systems so that when you tap the card to leave, your lights will turn off above your workstation, things like that. So it really is about optimizing on the physical experience of using the wall switch.
And I guess in a way, that's what Antrak, what you guys do as well, bringing intelligence into these kind of services.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we want to make sure that what we're providing is not just, okay, now the lights are connected. It's really about making sure that we can deliver a better result, whether that's energy savings or your lights last for longer or you've reduced your carbon emissions and that's important for sustainability reporting for like a large company. Whatever the end benefit is, we have to really focus on that. Connectivity is really just a tool, a method to get to that end result. And so if you're not achieving some end result of cost savings or productivity enhancements, then you're just doing it sort of for fun. And that's not really something that flies in the business world.
Any insights that you've seen across since it's, you know, energy management solutions provider like you guys, you may have probably come across some interesting facts?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the things, for instance, that we see is that when we track air conditioning use, the amount of energy you use on air conditioning depends not only on the current outside temperature, it depends on also the previous 5 days' temperature. Mm. What that means is that we are actually controlling our air conditioning based not only on how we feel right now, but also on how we've been feeling recently. So if it's recently been very hot, then we go and we turn it on to, you know, a very high level because we instinctively have that reaction. If it's recently been a little bit cooler, then we, you know, even if it's the same temperature, we'll turn it down to a more reasonable level. So that just shows that, you know, the way that we react to things when we have manual control doesn't always depend on the actual situation on the ground. So having a little bit of automation there is one way to make sure that you're removing some of these effects and getting optimal efficiency.
So a little bit of automation in that aspect, you know, I don't have to worry about, you know, setting an aircon in the wrong temperature.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not the end of the world if you set it at the wrong temperature, but especially for a lot of companies that are looking at, you know, 1% energy reduction each year to meet a carbon target, you know, that can really make a difference in terms of chipping away. So every little bit helps, and making sure that people aren't going to come in and, you know, set the temperature to 22 or something ridiculous like that, that really helps to make sure that everything is taken care of.
And achieving that 1% is not difficult?
It really depends on the organization. We've seen organizations where, you know, funny enough, they're on track to reach 2 or 3%, and they put on the brakes so that they can be more certain of hitting the target the year after. Mm. Funny things like that. But we've seen other companies that will really struggle, and part of the time that's because they don't have good mechanisms in place to manage their energy use. And so whatever goes in, lights, aircon, et cetera, no one is really responsible for looking out for how much energy that's using. They're really focused on making sure that nothing just breaks down. And so if they don't have the process in place, both in terms of people and in tools, then achieving a 1% savings is not necessarily going to be an easy thing, no matter if you change your lights or not. You know, it's going to be something, sort of an uphill battle.
I'm speaking to Tyler Holland, the COO of Antrak, and when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about some of the risks and challenges these smart devices are facing at the moment. BFM 89.9. Jeff Sandhu here, and this is Tech Talk. And my guest for today is Tyler Holland. He's the CEO of Entrack, and we're talking about smart devices and the risk it brings and poses to your home or organization. Tyler, what about the risk that these smart devices or smart homes or smart offices, what do they face at the moment?
I think some of the risks are really, first of all, on the economic side, trade wars do cause problems. They cause a lot of these component prices to go up, and that can really hit startups quite badly by making their component costs, which are already higher than those for big companies, to go up really high. So that means that a lot of the more creative devices are potentially going to start dropping off the market in the next few months or next few years, depending on how that situation goes. In terms of things like security, I think that one of the major risks that we look at is IT teams, and within companies at least, and operating teams focus more on facilities management. They're essentially set into two silos, and yet they're both looking at different aspects of IoT, of smart devices. And so it's difficult to get them to sort of cooperate on things. So IT will come in and sometimes put in a big roadblock and say it's, you know, really high security standards, as if this is financial data, and then that means you don't get the benefit of it. Whereas the facilities department will sometimes say, hey, I don't even want to deal with IT, and they'll set up a bunch of independent mobile networks, and then they'll maybe be exposing the company to risk by doing that. So getting these teams to work together, I think, is one of the most critical pieces of any sort of digital transformation that's going to enable smart businesses, smart buildings, things like that.
What about the homes?
In the home environment, I think that the main issue is that as you put in more devices, it's not necessarily that these devices have more risk than before, it's that you have more of them. And so there's a greater likelihood that one of them may have an issue, especially because in a home, it could be each one is from a different manufacturer. And the most common thing that we see is where the device has like an administrator portal, and that may have a default username and password. Admin is a really common one. And so the customer, you know, goes and puts it in their home. They input admin like in the user manual, and they get everything set up, and then they don't change that password. Now, what that means is that anyone who has ever bought that device before or seen that user manual can now access their device if they can just get into their network somewhere. So that means that you're really exposing yourself to risk. I would say a good number of the problems that we've heard of in terms of security breaches have come through these sort of default usernames and passwords. So I would say any device that you put into your home, absolutely make sure that you're changing the username and password, that everything is secure, because that default stuff, don't think you're the only one that knows it.
And sometimes these devices have security loopholes themselves, so despite whatever infrastructure you have, it still represents a risk.
Absolutely. And there's it's a little bit hard to face these kinds of problems. I mean, even the highest level IT security, generally what happens is after some sort of a breach, they'll come and they'll say, okay, we're going to apply a patch to fix the problem. But that's a reactive solution. And so in terms of preventing these kinds of things, there's not a whole lot of incentive there, except for the really largest companies. But even them, they're still susceptible to these kinds of problems. So it's a really tricky issue, and I would say that there are going to be breaches in the future. They're certainly not going to end. I don't think any policy is going to really avoid that. And our existing networks and computers and smartphones are fundamentally no different from the IoT and smart devices we're putting in our homes. So it's just an expansion of the network rather than any sort of fundamental difference, I would say.
So what should we consumers or business owners know about IoT security before we decide to get one of these, for whether it's our home or our business?
Well, for each given device, I would first say, does it make sense for this to be connected? Is this just sort of a gimmick and that happened to be the model on the market and it was, a little bit more expensive but not too much, and so I said, okay, I get a connected one. If that's the case, you may be exposing yourself to risk unnecessarily because you're not even getting a benefit out of that. The second thing is, think about what would happen if this were compromised. If this device is simply turning up and down your blinds in your home, then that's not really something that you need to worry about. Even if, let's say, a hacker gets into that, well, how much can they do? But if this is something that is tracking, whether you're in or out of the home, that's something that might be be a little more sensitive and something you really want to be cautious about. So you want to apply a little bit more scrutiny. You want to look at the brand a little bit more, think about, you know, well, what do they think about security? Is this some company I've never heard about and I just bought online? Or is this a well-known multinational company that's more likely to have taken this seriously?
But you know, Tyler, it was really hard for me to say no to that smart toaster. You know, you could toast your bread at the, you know, perfect temperature.
I think that as we move forward, this is going to be more and more attractive. As funny as it seems now, once you have everything really connected and the ecosystem continues to grow, you know, the fact that your alarm can go off and then the shower turns on and then the toast starts toasting, if it can really be so perfect and so smooth, I think that's going to attract a lot of people. But right now, it's a little bit difficult to achieve, so it seems a little bit far off. You know, just the toaster on its own, I don't know if voice control or app control is necessarily going to be the most useful thing.
What happens to the data that's being collected by these devices? Because, you know, that's very important. And can they be manipulated?
It depends on the manufacturer or the software service provider. So it's really going to vary. But I would say, first of all, think about whether this data is something that you need them to process. If it's a simple command, I want to turn on the light, I want to turn off the light, well, then that's not something where I need the manufacturer or the service provider to have anything to do with that. But if it's something like tracking my aircon use patterns and my preferences, well, you do want the system to do some machine learning and to learn about what is going to be most optimal for you. You want it to be able to determine when there's a problem versus when you're actually there and the aircon's on. And so to a certain extent, you want that data to be in their hands. And sometimes, especially for businesses, you may want someone on the other end actually looking at that data to make sure that everything's kind of going smoothly. Maybe a consultant, it may be someone who's just doing support. But I think you'd need to think about whether it's okay for them to have it, whether there's a benefit to that or not. And if not, then you need to make sure that they're not manipulating that, they're not using it in any sort of inappropriate way.
You know, Tyler, you mentioned every time that it depends on the device, it depends on the manufacturer. There's so many different type of devices. And the thing is, though, why hasn't there been any push for an industry-wide IoT smart security standards in place? Because these things are growing at a rapid pace.
I think it would certainly be a nice thing to have. But unfortunately, especially in the smart home market, we just don't see a lot of demand for it. I don't think that the sort of fears or concerns of the populace at large have grown to the point where they're really demanding that. What they really want is something sort of fun, sort of easy, and the implications of any sort of breach don't seem particularly you know, troublesome to them. In the business market, it's a little bit different. So for them, they treat an IoT device just like any other device, and they have IT teams that will run it through security tests. They have what are called penetration tests to check the software, at least at that level, to see whether the data is going to be secure. So they're, I would say, a little bit more protected. They don't necessarily need standards because they can run their own tests. But for the home market, I just don't see the demand from the consumers yet to have something like that, which is unfortunate because I think it really would protect them.
But for the enterprise level, it doesn't just fall on the IT people anymore already, because you would probably find HR managers needing to use these kind of services, especially like energy management.
Yeah, and that's sort of similar to what I said before with like the operations and facilities teams and the IT teams. So on the operations side, which I guess you can include HR, they're also, you know, administrators. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different departments that now want to use these smart devices, IoT devices, and it really helps them to do their work in a better way. But it's not just about having a computer connected to a server, connected to a network, you know, the old school IT stuff. It's a really new approach. And so a lot of IT teams are very resistant about this, and they're not necessarily incentivized to enable the development of IoT and smart devices within the company. So for this side of things, we really hope that in the future, the role of the IT team will be a little bit more adapted to be a little more supportive of the deployment of these types of systems. Because right now, they have every incentive to sort of throw up a big wall and say, hey, this could be a potential risk. I'm not going to let any of it pass. And so the companies we see that are most successfully deploying smart systems are the ones that have actually set up even separate networks for those devices from, let's say, the company financial data, so that they can have two separate standards of security depending on what your application is. So that lets the facilities teams, for example, run with energy management and lighting control and things like that without having to worry about, hey, are these devices going to be a weak point to get into my financial records?
I guess to wrap it up, just to, you know, be cautious when you do invest in these devices and also have a strategy in place. Talk to the IT guys in the team then to figure a way of how to do it. Creating another channel or another network line separate from your finance would probably be more ideal than just trying to do it all together and, you know, try to see the benefits into all of it, because it may fail.
Yes, absolutely. And the unfortunate thing is that, you know, for a smart home, you don't necessarily have that option. And so smart homes, I think, are a little more vulnerable in that sense. And they should definitely be cautious because there's no IT team looking out for them. It's every man for himself, so to speak. And so they really need to look into this and make sure that they're doing their homework. As we've seen with, you know, recent issues with Facebook and Cambridge Analytica and things like that, just because it's a big company doesn't necessarily mean that they're doing a great job of protecting your privacy and your data.
Don't be fooled by the smart toaster yet. Maybe in the future, but for now, just try to stay away if it's something just for fun. Tyler, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And I've been speaking to Tyler Holland, the COO of Antrack, talking about the security risk and dangers with smart devices. If you miss any parts of this show, you could download the podcast. It's available on the BFM app. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.